Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. In this edition of Enlighten Me, we return to the University of Delaware to highlight more work from student journalists there. Pieces produced by UD Communications students for a class taught by Nancy Karabjanian, a longtime first-day journalist, director of UD's journalism program, and one of the founders of Delaware Public Media. We start with rising senior Tyler Dodson. Delaware is home to many types of fish, but some were never supposed to be here. Dodson reports those invasive fish can harm local ecosystems, and some are nearly impossible to get rid of.
Fishing is a common pastime, but many anglers are unaware of the silent invaders threatening the Delaware ecosystem. Invasive fish have been threatening Delaware fisheries since the early 2000s, and yet there's been little to no success removing these new species. The northern snakehead was the first fish to make it to Delaware, with its sharp, jagged teeth and long body that gives the fish its frightening name.
You gotta wear gloves. I mean, they have teeth, like, insanely sharp teeth. It's like a dragon. Like, if you ever, the way they look, they're all slimy.
They eat anything that will fit into their mouth and can survive in almost any conditions. Snakeheads have been known to live in freshwater and saltwater, and they can even breathe air for up to 4 days. Michael Steiger is an aquatic invasive species biologist from the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. He says this puts other fish that are native to the Delaware area at risk.
The problem we have is there are some sunfish species that are threatened and rare in Delaware. So if a snakehead gets moved and released into one of those ponds, they would prey on and could potentially extirpate a rare sunfish species.
But snakeheads are not the only invasive fish making it into local ponds and rivers. Flathead and blue catfish have been starting to call Delaware home as well. These two species have been coming from other states to Delaware through streams and rivers, which makes it difficult for the Department of Natural Resources to stop these fish from getting in.
I'm doing a tracking survey where I track them, and they're freely moving between the Chesapeake Bay and the Delaware Bay through the C&D Canal, which obviously is a problem, but you can't shut the C&D Canal. It's a, you know, navigation channel and for shipping.
These fish getting into the bay is a big problem already, but when they make it into an ecosystem like a pond, it can be devastating to the natural fish population.
The reason it's very important in a pond system is because you can think of it as like a fish tank. So there's only so many fish in there. That's the invasive flathead catfish. So they can grow up over 100 pounds. So they'll eat a 2 to 3 pound fish every single day of their lives. And they live 30 to 35 years in the pond system. So that's a lot of predation. So that's why we're removing flathead catfish from Lums Pond using electrofishing, just because there's limited resources. It's just a mouths to feed issue.
Since many of these fish are coming in from other states, DENREC is fairly limited in what they can do. They use electrofishing boats that stun any fish in the area, and they remove any invasive species as they float to the surface. They also stock fisheries with native fish at the same time. Other than that, the best way to help DENREC in their fight against these invaders is to report any sightings of invasive fish to the DNR's website, and never to transport an unidentified fish between two bodies of water. For UD News, I'm Tyler Dodson.
Thanks to rising senior Tyler Dodson for his reporting. Next, we hear from another rising senior, McKenna Burke, who tells us from sightings of ghosts to eerie deja vu moments, paranormal phenomena allow our imagination to run wild and continue to puzzle investigators.
For generations, ghost stories have been passed down, whether it's a woman haunting a hallway, a strange whisper, a flickering light, or a shadowy figure at night. Maybe it's a coincidence or a paranormal sighting. For some, paranormal activity isn't just something to watch on television. Tammy Petricelli, a medium who connects and receives messages from spirits.
I experience paranormal every day. That's my life.
Over time, embracing the paranormal has become routine for Tammy. She says it allows her to see into the life of the spirits she communicates with.
I'm recalling someone else's thoughts and memories as opposed to recalling my own thoughts and memories.
Some remain skeptical about these mysterious occurrences, But for certain scholars like communications professor Paul Brewer, it's not about proving they exist, but understanding why people believe.
Lots of people believe it, and so I think it's worth studying those beliefs.
The most common mysterious phenomena people report is déjà vu, which is the sense of witnessing something you feel you've already experienced. According to brain and nervous system researchers at the Cleveland Clinic, it usually occurs most often around ages 15 to 25, or at a time in somebody's life that can be stressful, specifically attending college.
It felt like I had seen it before in a dream.
That's Bridget Edney, a junior at the University of Delaware, recalling her experience with déjà vu.
It can feel like time slows down because you're kind of like recognizing the moment.
Psychologists say it can be a memory glitch. Others, including mediums like Tammy Petruccelli, feel it's more spiritual.
I feel that's their intuition that they have had saw this in maybe a dream.
Professor Brewer feels that whether it's the paranormal, déjà vu, or other unexplained phenomenon, there is often a need for something more in a difficult world.
You know, people look for meaning and transcendence in a lot of different places. For some people, it's, you know, it's God, a religion. For other people, it's aliens or Bigfoot.
Brewer's research centers on those beliefs. Basically, those who find paranormal events to be real are most likely to be believers, and those who work to debunk it are not. But he points to the fascination society has with the paranormal, especially through the media.
As mass media have become a bigger part of society, they've kind of taken on the role of storytellers and legend makers.
Ghost stories around the campfire have become less and less popular. Instead, they've been replaced by something that reaches every corner of the world. Despite research, most of these phenomena remain unexplained, whether it's stories sitting around a campfire, sightings on TikTok, or conspiracy theories about déjà vu. These stories have endured the test of time. For the ones who have experienced the sinister whispers, ghostly giggles, or dark shadows during the witching hour, the unexplained stay mysterious. For University of Delaware News, I'm McKenna Burke.
Thanks to UD Rising Seniors McKenna Burke and Tyler Donson for enlightening us this week on The Green.